Sometimes I feel when the Spirit of the Lord starts moving concerning finances. You know, we've been preaching this for really 23 years, ever since we've been on the road, we've been preaching these messages. And as we've gone down the road, you know, we've just got a greater revelation of who God really is. But we still preach the same message we preached in 93, 94, 95. It's the same word. Nothing's changed. It's just coming from a different point of a revelation that God has given us. Like I said, I've come from the place where I could believe God to pay something on a monthly basis. But God had to be involved in that so that I could be blessed through that. Are you listening to me? I've gone to a place where I'm believing God to pay cash for everything that I never have a monthly bill. Are you listening to me? That's where I'm at. Now, if you're not there yet, that's okay. God can reveal that to you. You can get a revelation of that, and you can flow in that area. I believe God can bless us either way. I just choose not to go into any debt whatsoever, because I really personally believe that that's not what God wants us to have. Amen. Now, when God's involved in something, and He's led you, and you're paying what God wants you to pay, I don't classify that as debt. Because God's taking care of it. When you have to take care of it yourself, when you run your credit cards up because you're trying to have a good Christmas, buy everybody gifts, and God's not involved in anything you're doing, and then you end up paying for the rest of the year and the next year and the next year because of that one time, that's your fault. Oh, you listen to me. God's not involved in that. But when God's involved in our finances, everything flows smoothly. Are you listening to me? It flows smoothly. I just prefer, me, myself, and I, the three of us, we just prefer to do everything we do, we're going to pay cash for. Amen. I'm not telling anybody else to do that. I'm just telling you where I'm at personally, my wife and I and my family. This is the road we've personally chose. Now, sometimes, you know, in the natural, you can think, well, it'd be easier just to go get a loan from the bank. But if God's not involved in it, then it won't be. Are you listening to me? So you know, I've taken that step of faith, and that's the road I've chosen to go on. And I believe with all my heart that if I can believe God for a certain amount of money to pay for every month, and God take care of it, then why don't I just believe God for the entire thing? And just pay it one time. Are you with me? That's where I'm at. Now, maybe you're not there yet. Maybe you still... That's fine. That's not a problem. Amen. But all I'm going to say is make sure God's in it. Either whichever way you're going to go, make sure God is in it. Because when God's in it, then God takes care of it. When God's not in it, then you take care of it. And we know how that goes. Amen. Hallelujah. All we have to do is believe. We have to believe the Word. Thank you for that pitter-patter. Whoever that was, thank you. Was it you? Thank you, dear lady. Thank you, thank you, thank you. One person actually getting it. You only need faith the size of a mustard seed. You can move a mountain. Hello? Come on now. You know, these things that we talk about here in the Word, whatever it might be, whether it be the power of God, the anointing flowing through you, signs, wonders, miracles, all these things only come to those that believe. Those that believe. Is there anybody here in the house that when you lay hands on sick people, you absolutely believe that God's going to heal them? Is anybody else like that in the house? Okay, so what is the difference between laying hands on the sick and totally believing God for a supernatural miracle than totally believing God for a financial blessing that can purchase something debt-free. What's the difference between the two? Nothing. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hello? We're just not stirred in that area to do that. That's the problem. That's why I feel the Lord has me stirring people to start to believe Him for supernatural things. Amen. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe without a shadow of a doubt, when the trumpet of the Lord sounds, I'm out of here. I have no doubt about it. I have no, not even a second thought. No, not even a second thought. Where did that second thought come from? Anyway, I think the second thought came out after the first one. But anyway, so I don't even have a second thought about it. I know that I know that I know. The same way I know that I know that I know the healing power of Jesus. The same way I know that I know that I know the joy of the Lord. The same way that I know that I know that I know the power of God, the fire of God, the revival. I know that I know that I know financial blessing and provision is in the house. I know that I know that I know. I know. I don't have a doubt about it. Amen. Now don't get me started on that again, because then, you know, we might receive another offering here this evening. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 1. Quickly there with me. Book of Acts, chapter 1. How many of you need prayer this evening? How many of you don't need prayer? How many don't know what you need? There are a few that don't know what they need. Well, then you need prayer. Amen. How many of you believe in God for a miracle in the house? Hallelujah. I believe God's going to give you a miracle tonight. Said, I believe God's going to give you a miracle tonight. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanding them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which He saith, ye have heard of Me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Hallelujah. You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. That means we should be not only baptized in water, but we should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, everything about you will change. Hello? I was driving down the street one day, and I've seen this on many different occasions, but driving down the road, and you come past a church, and I often look to see what the church puts on their billboard. You know, their little sign on the outside of the building. Some of it is just frivolous garbage they put up there. Hello? Doesn't mean amount to a hill of beans. Amen. Then others, you know, you drive by a Baptist church, and there they got a sign up there, you know, revival tonight. I'm thinking, really? Revival in a Baptist church. Now, is it possible? All things are possible. But what people feel is a revival is where people might fall on the floor, because they don't see that in their church. I showed up at a church to have revival one here, and the guy that was taking me through the foyer into the building, into the sanctuary, he said, brother, he said, we're having revival in the church. I'm like, fantastic. I'm just thinking, I'm just going to hook on to what they're doing and just keep going. We're going to have a blowout this week. He said, we're having revival. I said, what's happening? He said, we had some people fall on the floor on Sunday. I went, oh, Jesus, help me. This is going to be a tough one. Because if they think revival is falling on the floor, when they actually see what God's about to do, it's going to freak them out. Hello? Revival, everybody wants to use the word revival because they think it's the latest thing since sliced bread. But let me tell you what, revival is not just having another meeting. You know, I'll go back and share the story. I know I've shared it before, but when we left Tampa on this journey we've taken now, about a year ago, I believe it was, maybe a little longer than a year, 13 months ago. And so our first stop was in Missouri, and we were invited to go to a church in a little town, just a little town, I mean, in the boonies. I don't mind going to the boonies. I love the boonies. Hello. We've had great revival in little towns in the country. Great, great moves of God for weeks on end. I mean, just powerful moves of God. But we show up at this church and they were not ready for what was about to happen. They were just not ready. Even the cousin of the pastor told him on the Saturday night, "You're not ready. You are not ready for what's about to happen in your church." And he reiterated that a few times, and I thought, my God, leave the pastor alone. Maybe he is ready. Well, you know, that cousin was right. They weren't ready. They were not ready. Because Sunday morning, once they had done their thing, and I stood in the front row, and I thought, my God, I feel like I've gone back in time. I said to my wife, you know, I feel like I'm a little boy in a Pentecostal church. I felt like I needed to get on my hands and knees and start looking under the pew for gum. Oh, you listen to me. That would have been crazy. Guest speaker under the pew trying to pull some gum. I mean, that's what I just felt. I just felt like I'm a little kid. And yeah, they are going through singing like it was back, you know, in the 60s. I mean, it's like crazy. It's like time warp. You know what I mean? Going back in time. And I'm praying in the spirit as hard as I possibly can because I'm thinking, my God, what am I going to do when I get up there? And then one guy got up and took up the offering, and he talked a little bit on that, and I had no clue what he's talking about, but he took up the offering, and then the pastor was up there, and he was talking some stuff, and I had no clue what he's talking about, and then, you know, they gave me the meeting, and I stepped up, and I looked at everybody, and the place was pretty full of people, and I looked at everybody, and I went, oh, Jesus, help me. You know, I came right out the chute, man, just guns blazing. I'm here to have revival. I ended up giving an altar call before I began to pray for people. And listen, some of the board members were down, and some of the elders were down, and some of the singers were in the altar call. And the guy that gave the offering teaching was in the altar call, praying the sinner's prayer. I looked at them, and I went, Jesus, help me. We're in a worse position than what I thought we were. Now, I'm happy they came out, but I'm like, what's actually going on here? Oh, you listen to me. That was Sunday morning. Sunday night, you know, I get up to teach on giving and talk about the financial blessing of God, and everybody's looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Then I start preaching on revival, you know, all guns blazing, ready to have a move of God. I call out, people start praying for them. Power of God starts knocking them on the floor. They start getting full of joy. People start getting drunk in the spirit. Other people are hyperventilating. They need a brown paper bag. Freaking out. No, I'm not joking. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not elaborating. This is what was going on. I found a lady in the back, right in the very back. I think it was the pastor's sister-in-law or somebody like that. I don't know. They looked a little close, but anyway, they were in the back there, and he was busy praying. He was busy praying for her, and I woke up like, what's happening? Oh, she's just having a panic attack. I'm like, really? Panicking about what? What are you panicking about? I'll tell you what she panicked about. She panicked about the meeting and the power of God that was hitting the place. Hello? That was Sunday night. Monday morning, by 9 o'clock, he was at my fifth wheel, freaked out, walking around like a lion in a cage, just freaked out. And he shut the meeting down on me. He said, I've got to shut it down. I've got to shut it down. I'm like, okay, hey, no problem. I don't have a problem with that. You know, back on the inside of me, I'm going, thank you, Jesus. You set me free, Lord. Hello?
Why? Because they, you know, the Bible says you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't ready for that. See, their revival is jump up and down, scream and shout, preach so hard, he spits down five rows. If you sit in the first five rows, you need an umbrella on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, or in a revival meeting so you don't get sprayed by the preacher. The more the preacher spits and sweats, the greater the move of God. And everybody jumping up and down, running the pews, jumping around. And when you actually ask him what happened, well, it was a good meeting. Well, what actually happened? Well, we don't really know, but it was a good meeting. Are you with me? That's how ministers go. That's how what they call revival. That's not revival. There's no change. There's nothing going on in the hearts of people. It's all surface stuff. It's all, you know, everybody gets hyped up for the moment. I watched a guy on TV the other night, and I watched the congregation, and he's like, he primed the people. Hey, get ready, I'm about to preach. And he's already preaching. He said, I'm about to preach. And then all of a sudden he goes crazy, and the people start going crazy and jumping up and down and waving their hands. And I'm like, they don't even know what they're doing. They have no clue. And whatever's going on in the meeting, it's not going to change their life, and they're not going to get set free by it, because it's all physical manifestations in the flesh that they're involved in. Are you listening to me? So anyway, we left the city the next morning. I shouldn't say city. We left the country. And God, within an hour of those meetings being canceled, God already opened up doors in St. Louis in two different places. And we went and had revival. We had a blast. I mean, we had a great time. So we didn't miss a beat. But let me tell you something. Somehow on the Facebook I had put up there, the meetings were canceled. And I put up where the new meetings were going to be. And somebody from those meetings decided they'd hop on my Facebook and they'd make a comment. And the comment was, well, no, the revival's not canceled because we still had revival here tonight. But you see, what they think is revival is what they had. What they had was the same old, same old. Some preacher getting up, spitting down five rows, shouting and running up and down, screaming and shouting, "Woo! We had a move of God, hallelujah." No, you didn't. You had a preacher come and shout at you, hop you up a little bit. I mean, I don't even know how those preachers preach that stuff. We want to tell you, hallelujah, that God is in the house. And I'm like, I mean, just from doing that, I'm already exhausted. I'm like, my God, I need a break. Hello. Spit, 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 spit. Now, I've spat on people, but I'm down in the front row walking there. I've spat on a few. I mean, I did by mistake. It's not on purpose. I was in a church one day, and I spat right on the pastor's forehead. And so I'm seated up there, and I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I just walked past him, and I went, filled. Listen, I'm sitting on my brother's row down in Tampa, Florida. One day, I'm sitting in his meeting, and he walked by, and he spat on my eyeball, in between a blink. He spat. And I'm like, spat in my eyeball. I mean, it was holy spit. One day I was preaching, my wife said to me, "You come by me." She said, "You know, you spat in my eyeball the other night." I'm like, "Really? I spat on you, God?" I said, "I didn't see that." I mean, I thank God it was my wife, you know, but. And then I said to her, "Look, people have spat on me before. Freely I've received, freely I give." Amen. But you see, people have no clue what revival is. They think it's just up and down, scream and shout, run the pews. And then at the end of the night, there's no substance in it. There's no change. Everybody's still the same. They're tired. Preacher's a little hoarse. You wish he'd get up on the horse and ride away. Hello. But he's a little hoarse. He's sweating. He needs a towel to dry himself every 2 minutes because he's sweating so profusely. And people think that's the Holy Ghost. No, the Holy Ghost is what happened tonight right after when I got up and we prayed and nobody was really doing anything. Nobody was saying anything. Holy Ghost hit the whole house. I felt the Holy Spirit moving you like a wind. I felt the power of God flow in you like a wind. That's the Holy Ghost. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's not by our ability. It's not by what we do. I feel a spitting coming on. Now, let me tell you what. I will spit on people if God tells me to. But I will make sure that He tells me first. Amen. Because Jesus spat. Amen. But please make sure it's God before you do it. Because you might get a slap. Amen. You get filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, then something's going to be different about you. Yeah. It's like people that are saying, I've been praying for 30 days, fasting and praying for 30 days, but they look like death warmed up. Listen, if you've been fasting for 40 or 30 days, something's going to be different. You're going to look like something is alive on the inside of you. You're going to look like you've been hanging out with Jesus. When they saw Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled and took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. They could see they had been with Jesus. Can people see that you've been with Jesus? Can they see that you've been hanging out? You go to church and come out of church. Can people see that you've actually been with Jesus? You know, I don't watch Christian television, but the other night, I think it was last night or the night before, it just happened to be on in the living room, and I was busy on my iPad, and I kept looking up and watching. And let me tell you what, some of the people that they showed in that congregation, and I can't remember who the minister was, but I looked at those folks going, are they at a funeral? I mean, they had such long faces. I could not believe it. Because you see, I'm not used to long faces. I'm used to happy faces. And if I find a long one, then we go after it and make it happy. Amen. So for me to see sad people sitting in a church, I'm like, they need some joy. Amen. They need some joy. Now everybody's like, making sure that they don't look unhappy. We're happy. Yes, amen. We're all happy. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, you will be. Amen. Amen. You will be. That's what revival is. It's change. It's not about having another meeting and, you know, just hyping up everybody. It's about change. Amen. Are you all with me? Let's read on here. It says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Go down here to verse 8, but Jesus was explaining the reason, what he's talking about. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why does the church exclude the power? Where does the power go to? Why do we have Scripture in the Bible that talks about the power, but then the church doesn't operate in that? Hello. And when I talk about the church, I talk about the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, and the people. Now, in many cases, the people don't operate in it because the preachers don't operate in it. Our church, the church is in the climate they're in because of the preacher. Hello. That's why I thank God for Calvary Cathedral and Pastor Bob and the heart for revival. Because to have revival in Calvary Cathedral is one of the easiest things out. I just show up and God's moving. Are you listening to me? But there's some churches you go into, it's dead and dry. Why? Because the preacher's dead and dry. Hello? Look, I love the Word. Don't get me wrong. I always teach and preach the Word. There's never a meeting that goes by that we don't teach the Word. But following the teaching and the preaching of the Word, we have to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Hello. We have to see signs, wonders, and miracles. Some churches just want to teach. That's all it ever is a teaching. Now, great, I love the teaching, but how about we have some demonstration of the anointing? Can we have them both together? Can we have the Word and the anointing kind of mixed together? Can that happen? Is that possible to have that happen in the church? Well, it's happening in revival. Can that happen on a Sunday morning? Can we see the teaching of the Word and the anointing move at the same time? Is that possible on a Sunday morning? Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know if some ministers feel like maybe it's too much like hard work, or maybe they're afraid the Holy Spirit won't show up. I just say this, look, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, we have a dead meeting. And I've had some in the past before revival. I've had some dead meetings, so one more won't make much difference. Hello. But I'm going to place a demand on the Holy Spirit every meeting we show up that He moves and He touches the hearts and lives of people. Because when you have an encounter with God and the Jesus and the Holy Spirit, then your whole life changes. Everything about you changes. It's not about having another hot meeting. Well, you listen to me. We would not be here this long if the Holy Ghost wasn't in the house. Hello. We would not be here this long doing what we're doing at Calvary Cathedral if God didn't show up every meeting. Are you listening to me? Because we probably wouldn't want to hang out doing that, and I guarantee you Pastor Bob probably wouldn't want to hang out doing that either. Hello. So unless we're having a move of God and the Holy Spirit showing up, or it's over, baby. Are you listening to me? I'm not interested in just having another meeting. We can book ourselves up till the wazoo and just go have another meeting. I know many ministers that do that. Many evangelists, they just book up. Some are booked up till 2019. I'm telling you, I know ministers. They're booked up till the 2019. I'm like, how do you book so far ahead? How do you know what's happening in 2018? How do you know you'll even be alive in 2019? Hello? How do you know the church you're going to in 2019 will still be around? Come on now. You book yourself up till 2019. What if God has another plan? What if revival breaks out? What if God wants to use you in a great move of the Spirit, but you're booked? It's just a thought. Hello. You know, God's dealt with me over the years that sometimes we get so busy with the working of the ministry that we actually have no time for Him. Think about that. We get so busy with the working of the ministry, with the planning, the structure, this, that, that we actually have no time for Him. And I can tell you right now, I talk to God as much as I possibly can because I've learned a lesson. I talk to God as well. I wake up in the morning, the first thing I start doing, I start praying in spirit, quietly, talking to my Father. We drive in the car, I do the same. We ride horses, I pray in the spirit. Every time we ride horses, my wife, we pray before we even get on the horses. We pray for our horse. Needs the Holy Ghost. Amen. We pray peace upon the horses. We do that all the time. We pray as much as we possibly can. I talk to God about things all the time. Are you listening to me? I even talk to God in the meeting. Hello. There's some things I'm pressing into God for, to see happen. And I talk to God about those things all the time, saying, come on, you need to show me what. We're missing a detail. We're missing something There's something, some ingredient we're missing to see that supernatural miracle happen. So you need to show me what that is. I need to spend some time with God to find out what that ingredient is so we can see God do what he wants to do. Because listen, everything that needs to get done, he's already done. Every promise that we need is already there. It's already in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Well, the church needs to be a witness. I said the church needs to be a witness. And let me tell you what, the witnessing that we do is what we witness by the power of the Holy Spirit, where signs, wonders, and miracles happen. So when you see people, you share the love of Jesus with them, and then at the same time, miracles start happening. Come on now. That's what it's all about. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. And the days that followed, thousands were saved and miracles started happening on the street. And people saw the disciples that were drunk and they were accused of drinking sweet intoxicating wine. But yet they weren't drunk. They were drunk on the new wine of the Holy Ghost. That's what they were drunk on. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's where the church has to go. We've got to get filled with the glory of God. We've got to get filled with the Holy Ghost to a point where we are overflowing so that everywhere we go, miracles happen. Amen. And understand something. It's not you. It's Him. It's not you. It's Him. You might say, oh, I've never been to Bible school. Okay. It's the Holy Spirit. I said it's the Holy Spirit. If you can get to Bible school, great. But that's not the criteria for God to move through you. Hello. It's yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit to allow Him to change you on the inside and saturate you on the inside so that He can work through you. Got to come that purification on the inside so that He can work through you. Everything that's done by the Spirit, it's all glory goes to God. All glory goes to our Lord Jesus. Are you listening to me? We give Him all the praise. We give Him all the honor. We give Him all the glory. We don't take anything for ourselves because it's not us. We are just the vessel. We are just the carrier. We're just the container. Let me tell you something. You touch on the glory and you take that for yourself and you'll be in big trouble. And there are many ministers over the years that have fallen because they've puffed themselves up and they go, well, look what I've done. Look what I've got. This is all about me. That's not about you, bub. You can be taken out just like that. Oh, you listen to me. You can be taken out just like that. I humble myself before God and I thank God for using us like He has. And I humble myself and it blows me away to see what God does. Oh, you listen to me. I don't take it for my, it's got nothing to do with me. I'm just a vessel. If God doesn't show up, we have a dead meeting. All praise, all honor, all glory goes to Him. Amen. All praise, all honor, all glory goes to Him. Even the promises are His. Hello. Without this word, I have nothing. Without this word, I don't have a foundation. Without this word, I'd be all over the place. Are you listening to me? One day I'd be believing, next day I wouldn't. I'd be all over the place. But with the word, that becomes my foundation. Whose word is it? God's word. All praise, honor, and glory goes to God because of His word, because of His anointing, because of His presence, because of His power. Amen. I believe God wants to raise up revivalists. He wants to raise up people that are hungry for the move of God, that are willing to pay the price and do whatever it takes. Amen. You know, on the day of Pentecost, there were only 120 people. It wasn't like there were 5,000 people. We have this idea, a 5,000 church is a strong church. Not necessarily. It could be full of deadheads. On the day of Pentecost, 120 had a major impact. All we need is to see people raised up full of the Holy Ghost on fire for God. One by one, And they take this to the streets. They take this to the highways and the byways. All of a sudden, there's a revival going on in Fort Worth. Come on now. Just hungry and thirsty people. Just ordinary people. Carrying the anointing. Carrying the fire. Carrying the presence and the power of God. That's all it takes. We just got hungry for it. That's what the deal was. We just got hungry for God to move. And when we got hungry for God to move, He transformed our life. And when He transformed our life, we got even more hungrier. And by the time He transformed our life, there was no going back. There's nothing to go back to. What am I going to go back to? A dead meeting, something else that's dry. What am I going to go back to? I'm going to press on from glory to glory to glory. Whatever God has for me, I want and then some. And that's what we contend for on a daily basis. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost, yeah. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Some of you might be sitting here this evening, and I'm going to close with this, but some of you might be sitting here this evening wondering, what's the plan? What's the plan? But I can tell you right now, God has a plan and a purpose for everyone. I would not be at all surprised if some of you in this place aren't used in a very powerful way in the days that lie ahead to shake the city, to shake America, and to shake certain areas of the world. You could find yourself on a foreign field somewhere, a year from now, 2 years from now, shaking a whole nation for Jesus. We come from Africa. We've been in America, touching and shaking this nation, and still will continue until Jesus shakes it completely. Are you listening to me? We come from Africa. If God can raise up Africans and bring them to America as missionaries, He can raise up Americans and take them to Africa as missionaries. I'm not talking about just from a missionary society. I'm talking about from a Holy Ghost perspective. I'm talking about when you hit the ground on the other side, suddenly stuff starts happening around about you. Favor, it goes ahead of you. And you start seeing the waves of the glory of God hit the nation. I'm telling you right now, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Do you know that Africa, there's so many hungry people in Africa. If you went there, you'd pack out places like this. I mean, they'd be jam-packed with people. They'd be standing outside the doors. That's how hungry the African people are. I believe it's coming to this shore. I believe it's coming to America. I believe that hunger is coming to America. Let's not sit back and relax. Because somebody that we prayed for and believed God for got into the White House. Let's not sit back and relax. Let's press on into what God has for us. Amen. We're in a season. We're in a time and a season that I believe there will be very little opposition to what God wants to do. And now's the time to establish it. So that when the opposition comes, it's too late, man. It's too late. We'll run right over the opposition because listen, when God starts moving, nothing stops the move of God but religion. That's what stops the move of God. But the world's not going to stop the move of God. Are you listening to me? We have a window of opportunity. Let's grab a hold of what God's doing. Let's embrace what God's doing. God, we've got to see revival. We've got to see revival shake the nation. We've got to see revival shake this whole Metroplex area. Are you listening to me? We've got to cry out to God for the greatest move of the Spirit of God that this nation has ever seen. It's got to come, and it's got to come now. God, you've got to breathe upon us. You have to breathe in our direction. We have to see a shaking by the power of Almighty God. We have to see a shaking by the power of Almighty God. Not another plan from man. Not another structure on a church. We have to see the shaking. We have to see the power of God manifest down here on this earth. We have to see it. There's nothing else that will change this nation. I'm telling you right now, nothing else will change the nation of America but God Himself. And if the nation has to be shaken or changed by the power of God, let me tell you where it's going to start. It is going to start in the house of God. And if it's going to start in the house of God, let me tell you where the house of God is. The house of God is sitting right here in the pew. This is the house of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where God lives. He doesn't live in the building. He lives within you. Therefore, God has to come into the house, into us, and change us and shake us and turn us upside down or the right side up and fill us with His glory, fill us with the Holy Ghost so we can go and do and accomplish what God wants done down here on this earth. God, send revival. Send a shaking upon the church. Send a hunger into the hearts and lives of the believers. I pray the believer becomes desperate. Too much complacency in the body of Christ. Too much going on a Sunday morning and just going through the motion. Too much of it. Too many mega churches have been popped up all over the countryside, all over the nation. Well, you can go in there and sin and come out and sin and it's okay. Too much of that stuff going on. I said too much of that stuff going on. Oh, they do a good work. Mm-hmm. Really? If they're not presenting Jesus in His entirety, if they're not presenting the Holy Spirit in what He can do for us and what He's done for us, then what are we doing? We can't water down the Word and then say we're doing a good job. Hello? We can't compromise the move of the Holy Spirit and then say we're doing a good job. Because in actual fact, what we're doing as a minister is we're doing a disservice to the body of Christ. That's what we're doing. And I can tell you right now, we are leading people astray. Because we compromise the Word and we compromise the move of God. We compromise the Holy Spirit. We are leading people astray. That's why the church is not living in victory. Because preachers don't tell them that they can. Because the preacher himself is not living in victory. Are you listening to me? So you think we need revival? You think we need revival? Absolutely. Without a shadow of a doubt. And you know my prayer is, God, begin it in me. God, begin it in me. If we all cried that prayer and God began it on the inside of all of us, can you imagine what He'd do in this place? Can you imagine what He'd do in this place? God, begin it in me. Start a work in me. Change me. Set me free. Deliver me. Remove religion out of me. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the glory. Fill me with Your presence. I pay the price, whatever it takes. Because at the end of the day, our life is just but a vapor. It's just but a short period of time. And then we go on to be with Jesus. Whether it be in the rapture or before that, we go on to be with the Lord. And then it's over. Then the work is over. So we have to hit it while we can down here on this earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Just let's lift our hands to heaven right now and just say to the Lord, Lord, begin a work in me. Lord, begin a work on the inside of me. Change me, Lord. Fill me. Saturate me. I want to be used of You in these last days. I don't mind if You send the fire of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me to bring about a transformation. I need a transformation on the inside of me. I need to be changed from the inside out. That you would raise me up in these last days and use me for the extension of the kingdom of God, for the glory of God, for the glory of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I humble myself before your mighty hand. And I exalt you, Lord. I exalt you and I praise you and I worship you. For you alone are worthy to receive all honor, all praise, and all glory. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, my Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, begin a work in me. Lord, begin a work in me. Let me never be the same. Let me never be the same. Come here, both of you, quickly. Come here quickly. Lord, begin a work in me. Lord, begin a work in me. Let me never be the same. Lord, I thank you for a fresh fire, for a fresh fire, for a fresh anointing. In the name, it's above every other name, the name of Jesus. There it is. See, there's bigger things in store. There's bigger things in store. Mama, thank you, Lord. See, we look in the past and we think there's some big things that God's done. How could he do anything bigger? Founder of the Newsboys. That's going to be small compared to what God has for you. I said, that's going to be small compared to what God has for you. All it takes is a pressing in, touching the hem of the garment of Jesus. I feel that right now. That's going to be small. That's going to be small. Woo. Yeah, that's it there right now. Yeah. You're a part of it. You're a part of it. I said you're a part of it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's it there. That's it there right now. That's it there right now. Just let him do a work. Just let him do a work. You get up on the altar. You let the fire of the Holy Ghost come. Oh, my. You will never be the same. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost. 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 Every step you take will be ordered of the Lord. Don't take a step that he hasn't ordered. He'll lead you. He will guide you. There will be a transformation that will take place. For there will be supernatural miracles that will flow through your hands, touching the hearts and lives of many. It must only be all about him. Nothing of the past. Nothing of the present. All about him. All about him. All about Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you happy? No. I'm talking to the guy behind you that's catching you. Are you happy?
Yeah, I know God's going to do big things.
Yes, yes, he has a plan.
Yes, sir.
Are you happy?
Yes, I'm excited.
Prove it. Prove it. Prove it. Ha, ha, ha. Ho, ho, ho. Trust me, I do this for a living.
Yes.
Let the joy bubble out your belly. Hey, a little medication will be a good thing. Go ahead. Ha, ha. Ho, ho. No, no, no. You're praying. Ha, ha. Are you Pentecostal? Huh? No? Yes? You're not sure? Just let the joy bubble. John, have another drink. It's on the house. You're already on the carpet. You might as well have another drink. Lord, get him drunk. Fill him up, Lord. Uh-huh. Ho, ho. Hee, hee. You say, what you waiting for? I'm waiting for her to ha, ha, ho, ho, hee, hee. I think your Asher is stealing it. I think they're both stealing it. You should see them. They're both.
I know.
We're going to need an Asher for the Asher. And I don't have that many ushers yet. So please, please take it as quickly as you can. Hey, you guys, stop stealing. I'm trying to get her drunk, not you. That's your usher. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You ushers need to stop stealing people's drinks. First of all, I need you to help me. It's going to be like the blind leading the blind here in a few minutes. Hallelujah. Well, why don't we go ahead and open up the bar? Drinks are on the house. Hallelujah. Don't forget now, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, Pastor Bob ministers. Sunday night, 6:30, we'll continue another night of revival.
Upon me, breath of God, breathe upon me, sweet spirit of the Lord. As I lift my hands in surrender to your name.
Father, I thank you for the touch of heaven on this home, Lord. Lord, let your anointing flow right through Joy right now. I speak a miracle, a healing in the name of Jesus. Jesus' mighty name right now. We release the healing power of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The touch of heaven, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, I adore your holy name.
Let's go start down this end here. Lift your hands to heaven. Get ready, 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 get ready.
Breathe upon me.
Lift your hands to heaven.
Sweet Spirit,
Jesus' mighty name.
The Lord.
There it is. Jesus' mighty name.
As
Jesus'
I
mighty name.
My
Jesus' mighty name.
In surrender.
Jesus' mighty name.
To your name.
Jesus' mighty name. Talk about change.
Yielding to your spirit.
Well, you're drunk, brother. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Fire. Fire from heaven. Woo! Jesus' mighty name. 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 Jesus' mighty name.
Spirit of the Lord.
Jesus' mighty name.
As I lift my
let a fresh fire of the Holy Ghost. Jesus.
To your
name. There it is. There it is.
Most high.
Ho!
I'm yielding to
Jesus.
Your
mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
I feel Jesus.
Just yield yourself. Let the Holy Spirit fill you.
Jesus'
mighty name.
Oh!
There it is, lady. Take it, it's yours. Take it, it's yours. Let that joy bubble out your belly. Let the joy bubble out your belly. Let the joy bubble out your belly. Joy, lady. Joy. 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 Yo, yo, lady. Joy. Ha, ha. Ho, ho. He, he. Lady. I'm still here. I'm waiting. Joy. 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 Of the Lord. Of the Lord. Fresh fire, fresh fire, fresh anointing. Fresh fire, fresh anointing.
Jesus,
Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus.
Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name.
Yes, my soul.
Mighty name. Jesus' 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 mighty name.
Jesus'
mighty name.
In this place,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. trouble. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name. Jesus, mighty name.
He's in his place. Surrender
to
your name.
dose. I said, have another dose. It's on the house. It's free. Jesus, mighty name. 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 What you sitting back there for?
Jesus,
Jesus, mighty name. Ho! Oh, fill her up, Lord. With fire from heaven. Fresh fire from heaven. Thank you for the work, Lord.
Jesus, I adore.
Jesus, I praise you.
Jesus,
I
adore.
Hallelujah.
Jesus, I adore.
Jesus, mighty name.
You just reach out.